Hello and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Paz from the two-man power trip. Of course, joining me, the star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest bookers and minds ever in the history of the business, the games master, the taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, JP.
So as far as today and today's topic, wanted to talk about your old buddy, DDP Diamond Dallas Page, and the career and the life and everything else of DDP. When did you first meet DDP? Like, was it in the 80s or was it maybe later on?
I think it was the late 80s. I saw him with all these gimmicks and I never thought he'd make it. He started, what, at 37 years old to be a wrestler training. Didn't think he could do it. A lot of smart guys didn't think he could do it. Anderson definitely didn't think he could do it. But he showed us all wrong. He was the hardest working man in show business. He had a lot of influential friends that helped out. But you can't take anything away from him. He got over and he worked very, very hard.
What did you think of him, like, outside of the look? Like, what did you think about, like, his personality? Like, what did you think about him as a man?
As a man, he was a good guy, but his personality as a wrestler looked like a guy that wanted to be a wrestler, like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Interesting to think he's older and he gets into the business, and he's a manager at first, too. So it's almost like, wow, is this guy serious about being a wrestler? Like, he's going to maybe be a manager. I know he was working in those nightclubs down in Florida. I know he's kind of known for having a certain kind of attitude or look or whatever, but he never really screamed wrestler at that point, right? I mean, when he went to the AWA, he was just going to be a manager or even sometimes an announcer.
Yeah. Didn't have the look.
When you make a guy a manager and he's taller than the guys he's with, that's not really a good thing?
It's a no-no. And the way he took over interviews as the manager in the AWA, it was really cocky. To me, the best interviews are when it comes from a real person and it isn't too far from his character. Whether it's Bruiser Brody, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Kevin Nash, Dusty Rhodes, Superstar Billy Graham, King Curtis. You can believe in it because you believe in those people. And there's no gaga stuff.
So with him kind of just getting involved with AWA, and he didn't really work there that long or that much, but he's basically an announcer and a manager. But he's kind of almost trying to be, not outshine the wrestlers he's with, but...
Yes, he was. He wanted to be noticed.
Can't take anything away from him because he was the hardest working man in the show business. But he overcame a lot of mistakes, and that's why I admire him to this day.
He's obviously kind of overshadowing some of the guys he's managing. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's almost too much of a personality.
No, not too much of a personality. Too kindy. Come in and see the two-headed lady. And we got the fat man. Did you think it was like that?
Yes.
Blackjack Mulligan told me this. When the light goes on, you only get a certain amount of time to get over. You better get over. And you better have it together. And you better ask somebody that's smarter than you if this is the right thing to do.
Well said.
So he has a lot of connection to a lot of guys, even kind of before he became Diamond Dallas Page as we know him.
Do you know how he kind of got together with Jake? Because Jake was kind of his mentor and his trainer. Was that just kind of almost happenstance that they kind of crossed paths?
I think they met at a power plant when Jake was supposed to come in with Kip Fry, offered him that ridiculous amount of money.
So DDP goes to basically was Florida Championship Wrestling, but renamed PWF. He was an announcer with Gordon Solie for a little bit. He then ended up having his first match there in 89 against Dick Slater. But, you know, like we were saying, he's pretty old to be having your first match. He's in his mid-30s having his first match. I mean, that's pretty crazy, right? How old were you when you had your first match? Probably early 20s?
18.
Wow. But if you remember, he had a WWF tryout as an announcer, wasn't successful. Then WrestleMania 6, he drove down the Rhythm and Blues pink Cadillac, which was his technical Cadillac, down to the ring with Honky Tonk and Greg Valentine. Didn't get an in there. But when Florida Championship Wrestling, PWF, is over and Dusty goes back to WCW, he gives Page a small contract to bring him in. But this time he's coming in kind of as a manager for the Freebirds, but I think he has his sights set on being a pro wrestler full time.
Yeah.
So do you know about Dusty and his relationship?
Yeah. Him and Dusty were very close. And Dusty saw something in him that he admired.
Not to say he's being political right off the bat, but seems to be making some high power friends right away, which is good, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Does that rub people the wrong way?
If you believe the ends justify the means.
So really, as we're kind of going through the years, he credits Jake with helping him a lot. He credits Dusty. They're his mentor. They're the guys bringing him along. But he's the one that actually has to put in the work. So he goes down to the power plant, and he starts doing some training with Jody Hamilton. He apparently was filming most of his stuff. Was this, like, commonplace for the early 90s? Seemed like not, where a guy would film all his matches.
Way ahead of his time.
A lot of people have copied it as far as, like, taping matches and going back and watching the matches and studying it and critiquing yourself almost. Like, gotta do this, gotta do that differently. Or even show Jake the Snake the tapes. And Jake would say, you gotta do this and that differently.
Right.
Real student of the game.
Well said.
When he's kind of moving along and training in the power plant and stuff, when you come back to WCW, do you remember at all, like, if he was any good at that point, or was he still really green?
He was still really green, but he's catching on quickly.
It's funny, a lot of, like, the green guys who would eventually be, like, main event players would be in a diamond mine stable with DDP, like Scotty Flamingo at one point, Diamond Stud, Vinny Vegas, who's Kevin Nash. I mean, these are like lifelong friendships that he would develop, but who knew a few years later that all these friends would be main event players?
I don't think anybody knew.
Definitely not the bookers in WCW, that's for sure. Eventually, he'll start his feud with Johnny B. Badd, and that'll kind of be like, I don't know, it feels like 3 or 4 year feud, but they've fought and wrestled so many times. What did you kind of think about that? It was like they're both trying so hard. They're both trying to get better. Was that just one of those things where it's great to have two young guys work together, develop a friendship, and then really both work their asses off to get better?
Absolutely.
And it's funny, too, with Johnny B. Badd, that's a bad gimmick. DDP itself, like what he was doing, he had the rings on his finger, he had the cigars, he had the jacket, he had the sunglasses, then he had the gum. He had, I think, 1,000 gimmicks in one character.
Yeah, it sucked.
It seemed like he didn't know who he was, so he was just going to be a million things at once and just throw it all over the wall.
And see if anything stuck, yeah.
Who's the one that kind of talks to him and tells him, hey, man, like, lose the jacket, lose the sunglasses?
My fur coat, smoking a cigar, the rings, the sunglasses. And he had a hubcap around his neck like a rapper. He had Kimberly walking to the ring. And I told him too much, it was way too much. I didn't sugarcoat things.
Eventually, he has a bad injury when he returns in 94. He's got Max Muscle, he's got Kimberly, but he's got less gimmicks, and he's doing that horrible feud with Dave Sullivan.
It was a very lame feud, but they had started that before I got there, and they just couldn't end it. It didn't help either one of them, and Dave's a wonderful person.
They booked himself in a corner with that?
Yeah. It happens quite a bit.
He wins his first title, the television championship, at Fall Brawl 95. He'd be Renegade, and then he would continue on his feud with Johnny B. Badd for a while. He would then have a feud with the Booty Man, who we've talked about before. Absolutely horrible name and a horrible gimmick. And he would have the Booty Babe. He stole Kimberly from DDP. Oh, man, just horrible stuff here with the Booty Man in that feud. I hated it. He even beat TDP in the Loser Leaves Town match. I mean, it was strange. He ended up returning a few months later, but it was just a really weird gimmick. He had a mysterious benefactor. He had gone poor, and then all of a sudden he started getting his money back. Do you remember that at all?
Yeah.
Who was supposed to be the benefactor? Was there really no payoff to it? I think Kimberly, right?
It was supposed to be Kimberly, or they were trying to bring somebody else in from the WWE. I think it was the Million Dollar Man at the time. And that fell through.
Oh, wow.
You can't do an angle unless you have places and pieces. It's like doing a puzzle and you're missing pieces.
Right. And then he'll eventually win the Battle Bowl, the Lethal Lottery at Slamboree. And he's kind of moving along and moving up the card here. And then there's a couple great matches with Eddie Guerrero, U.S. title win. I mean, he's really kind of moving himself up the card. But what really solidified him was on Nitro when the NWO was there. When they think he's joined the NWO, he puts on the NWO shirt. Nash turns his back. He gives Hall the Diamond Cutter. Then he throws Nash outside the ring. And he goes up in the crowd and really kind of solidifies himself as the people's champion. Do you think that was like the crowning moment for him?
They do something that political. It raises him. It raises their value to the company, which raises their paycheck.
And they get another guy to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, he was slowly but surely getting over, and the Diamond Cutter was really, really getting over. It was like the hottest finisher in the business, but that was like a game changer right there because it was like, wow, now we have another main event player because Hall and Nash never get beat up like that.
Yeah, and they came up with that idea.
So then as he's going along, he's going to eventually have a feud with the Macho Man.
Randy made Paige. And I think he made Paige because he understood how hard Paige worked. Paranoid as Randy could be, he understood the business as well as anybody I've ever met and wanted to do the right thing.
That big time feud, I mean, starts at Spring Stampede. It's really DDP's first pay-per-view main event. It's great. He ends up getting the win and going over, which was shocking at the time. Like you said, that was Randy's idea, right? He didn't mind losing to DDP at all.
No.
Anytime you're beating Macho Man, you're pretty much a made man. I mean, you're over like Rover. You beat up the NWO, then you beat Macho Man in the match. 1, 2, 3 right there in the middle with your finish. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So they also have a match at Great American Bash, which was great. At Bash of the Beach, they have a tag match. Then, again, at Clash of Champions, they have a tag match. Fall Brawl, they'll have a tag match involving each other. And then they have their last match at Halloween Havoc in the Las Vegas Sudden Death No DQ match. Savage kind of gets the win thanks to Hogan cheating. Savage technically, I guess, wins the feud, but DDP won because he got over much more so than before. It was just like, wow, this guy is not only a main eventer, he is one of the key cogs in the wheel in WCW and one of the most over guys in WCW.
Yeah, yeah.
So, really, 98, he went from the Savage feud, and he's kind of doing the U.S. title thing, feuding with Hennig, feuding with Benoit, feuding with Raven. Then towards the summer, he starts feuding with Hogan. They have this awesome match on Nitro. They even had one in 97 that was good. Then him and Karl Malone team up. They face Rodman and Hogan. Then the next month, him and Jay Leno fight Bischoff and Hogan. So, I mean, he's in a great, great spot. I mean, he's a main event player. I mean, he's wrestling with celebrities and Hogan. I mean, he's becoming a mainstream household name. He's going to get on the cover of TV Guide. I mean, he's becoming a big star for you guys.
The worst thing in that history when you're going over that was Jay Leno.
The Rock stole from him, but that's a different story for a different day. But he was the original People's Champion.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. The match with Goldberg. Did you like the finish?
Yes, but I don't know. They almost teased DDP winning too much. I think they could have kept Goldberg a little stronger.
I agree with you 100%. And that was Paige's written down script. At this time, Bill was as hot as he was ever. They could have had that kind of match without them both laying down. When you have two guys laying down in the ring, it's like
anybody could have won. If Bill gave him a spear and the jackhammer, it wouldn't have hurt Page whatsoever. And if Bill picked him up and raised his hand and hugged him, it would have done more, I think. And I knew what Page was trying to do. He did the right thing for Page. But at this period, we were trying to make Bill the undisputed king of WCW.
He maybe have thought he should have won that match, but obviously, you know, you got to keep Goldberg strong. He can't lose right there.
Sometimes when we look in the mirror, including myself, we see things that aren't quite there.
He becomes the three-time World Heavyweight Champion. He won his first title at Spring Stampede. He beat Sting, Hogan, and Flair in a four-way match. Macho Man assisted him there, but it's funny to think, like, you got those four guys in a match unpredictably. You didn't think DDP was going to win. He's a heel as champion. Do you think that he should have been babyface champion because he was so over?
Absolutely.
How was he like to work with them? Was he like super political? I mean, we're mentioning he had influential friends.
But they were there to make sure that he got his due, not that he didn't deserve to be there. And he was very good at negotiation, getting his way on finishes, which we all are.
Was it hard for you to give him the big push, or was it easy?
At first, but then he came with less and less gimmicks. He accepted criticism, and it wasn't to hurt him, but to make him better. Then I knew he was going to be good.
Did he ever get any heat from, like, the boys for being Bischoff's neighbor and his friend?
I think he did, but the guys were too afraid to say anything to him.
So he does have a short run in WWE, a short run in TNA, but you know, really the bulk of his career was WCW. He does end up in the WWE Hall of Fame. He's inducted by Bischoff. Great stuff as far as them putting him in the Hall of Fame, but obviously it was much more the body of work than his WWE run, which wasn't what it could have been or should have been, probably because he's a WCW guy, and they didn't really book WCW guys super strong. But glad to see that he did get in the Hall of Fame back in 2017. Definitely much deserved.
He deserved it.
He even showed up in AEW a few times. Remember, he had a match on Dynamite. It was crazy. He had that Bash of the Beach when they somehow bought that trademark. So it was interesting to see at his advanced age. I mean, he's still in tremendous shape from the DDP Yoga, and that is highly, highly successful. And I feel like a lot of people know him from DDP Yoga, maybe more than wrestling now.
Right, right. He's doing great.
When he first started that yoga stuff, there's a lot of funny stories from, like, Scott Hall. And they used to tease him and call him, like, yoga bitch and stuff like that. And now all the wrestlers are starting to see the benefits of yoga. Do you think that was almost, like, hard for him at first to kind of delve into that completely different field?
No. He's a very, very smart guy, and he chose the right path.
Think about that. I mean, Jake helped him out many years ago, and now he helped Jake. I mean, he really took him into his house, got him in shape, made him do yoga, got him clean, got him sober, did the same thing with Scott Hall and countless others. I mean, you want to talk about loyalty. I mean, that's loyalty times 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
So DDP, if you just look at it, especially his WCW career, three-time World Heavyweight Champion, a TV champion, United States champion a few times, tag champs a few times. He was really the Triple Crown winner, or whatever you want to say. I mean, he's winning all the titles over there. He's doing really well. I know WWF, he was a tag champ. I know he was a European champion, obviously the Hall of Fame. But WCW was his bread and butter. The feud of the year in 97 against Savage, really getting over, being the people's champ. I mean, WCW was where he made his career, and I think he's a true blue, great WCW legend. Where would you rank him, though, as far as, like, for babyface? Sting, Luger, Goldberg, DDP? You kind of put them all in the same hat as far as the NWO era and the Monday Night Wars?
Sting is first. The rest of the guys about equal.
He's just, to me, one of the all-time greats. You got to love DDP. Have you ever done a DDP yoga?
I've tried some of it. I think it's a thing you fall into.
What do you think is his legacy?
He's a go-getter. He's an anomaly for a guy his age to become a successful wrestler. He's given back to the wrestling community, and I think very highly of Diamond Dallas Page.
No doubt about it. And I think that's a good stopping point for this week, and head towards the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tnptempire.com. Of course, you can follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Check out Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com, and hit up the Kevin Sullivan store. Kevin, what else do you got going on?
We got some good news. Did I tell you I'm going to be on a Steve Harvey show with JJ? We're suing one another.
Yes.
And it was, should be honest, but my wife, when I was there doing it, one of the guys had read my wife's book that works on Netflix. And of course, this isn't 100%. You've heard this stuff a thousand times. He said, you know, this may make a great screenplay because we're looking for content. So Ronnie Gossett, he grabbed the book and he's bringing it to some people. And the other thing is, Ronnie just put out his own show on iTunes as a singer. So maybe he knows somebody. And she's starting a blog next week. So it'll be interesting to see what comes up.
Ah, nice. Very cool. Good stuff. I love that.
Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to Steve Harvey. So thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week. Taskmaster Talks.
Thank you.
Kevin Sullivan.
Thank you.
See you next week, folks.
Self high five.